Bring in William Patey now. He's a former British ambassador to Afghanistan and joins us from London. Ambassador, extraordinary show of pageantry, as we've just been discussing, you know, this sense of tradition and indeed just discipline in getting this done.
Well, there was never any doubt that it would be done to military precision and it would all be all run smoothly. What strikes me is the continuity. I'm a historian as well as a former diplomat. And it's the continuity, these traditions going back 1,000 years. And none of us have seen them. I'm nearly 70, but the Queen came to the throne just before I was born. So this is all new for me to see this. But it's also part of a tradition that goes back 1,000 years. So it's very interesting times.
Yeah, indeed, it goes back to Saxon times, doesn't it? What are the origins of it all?
Well, I mean, I think a lot changed when the Normans invaded Britain in 1066. So a lot of this goes back to Norman times, but the traditions of that we currently have are very much 1,000-year-old. I, as a Scotsman, were particularly struck by the very formal announcement to protect the Church of Scotland, which goes back over 300 years when Scotland and England joined to form the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So that's a 300-year-old tradition. So there's a sense of continuity here, which is quite reassuring.
Indeed. Just about that, the reading of the Scottish Oath, which is an oath which has been made by every monarch since George I's accession back in 1714, I think. And as you say, dates back to a time when Catholic Europe was seen as a threat to Britain. How important is that, and why is it necessary in this day and age to still to have the monarch read that and make that oath?
Well, the Church of Scotland is an established church in the way the Church of England is an established church, so it's protected by the state and the monarch. In practical terms, it's a legal requirement, but in practical terms, no one fears having a Catholic monarch or a Catholic prime minister. There's a degree of religious tolerance in this country which makes all that very historical. Mm-hmm. But these are legal requirements that go back to the Act of Union. So, but in practical terms, you know, the days when Protestants or one religion had suzerainty over others or superiority over others is a thing of the past, but it's still a legal requirement.
Right. And all this tradition, all this pageantry, all this pomp and ceremony, many will say it's wholly unnecessary in this day and age.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes it's reassuring to people, a time when we've just lost a monarch who's been with us for 70 years, who was part of our lives, and who most of us didn't know anybody else. She was part and parcel of our everyday life, if you like. She was always there at ceremonial. So I think it's correct to when there's a transition from one monarch to another that you do it properly. And I don't think anyone in Britain is going to think we should pare this down to some sort of hair shirt event. I think there'll be a lot of support for the sort of ceremony we're seeing now.
Ambassador, as we're chatting, we're seeing the tradition and the ceremony that you're talking about still ongoing, and various dignitaries being taken around various parts of the city. Perhaps there we saw the Garter Arms going back to the to Buckingham Palace. And lots of to-ing and fro-ing happening. Ambassador, we'll come back to you later, but thank you very much indeed for the time being. We're going